I went to happiness school, so you don't have to. Welcome to Milieu, where context is queen, because a better life requires a better lens and French butter. Painful feelings are, by their very nature, temporary. They will weaken over time, as long as we don't prolong or amplify them through resistance or avoidance. The only way out is through. That was a quote by Dr. Kristin Neff, the world's preeminent scholar in self-compassion. I had the opportunity last year to train with her at the Esalen Institute in Big Sur, an addition for any bucket list that prioritizes good views, awesome food, and personal transformation. So, what's self-compassion? Compassion includes both a sensitivity to the presence of suffering and a desire to alleviate it. It's distinct from the emotional resonance found in empathy, or the cognitive awareness found in sympathy. Compassion is believed to be an adaptive trait designed to help the vulnerable, and is predictive of alliance formation and cooperation. So, collectively, it's helped us survive. When we ourselves experience suffering, we can direct compassion within. In self-compassion, we're touched by and open to our own suffering, not avoiding or disconnecting from it. We experience the desire to alleviate our own suffering and to heal our pain with kindness and offer non-judgmental understanding of our inadequacies and failures. In so doing, we connect our experience to the larger human experience. Self-compassion, as identified by Neff, is composed of three distinct parts: self-kindness, common humanity, and mindfulness. The first ingredient, self-kindness, means being gentle and understanding with ourselves instead of harshly critical or judgmental. But it's not just not being harsh, it's being actively kind, allowing ourselves to be moved by our own pain. This is an unusually difficult time. How can I take care of myself right now? Sometimes for me, that's an Epsom bath after a day of imperfectly parenting my active 5-year-old. For you, it might be saying to yourself, I accept myself exactly as I am. Especially when we make a mistake, instead of judging ourselves, we can show ourselves understanding and unconditional acceptance. Giving yourself a hug might sound silly, but physical touch releases oxytocin, reduces cortisol, and calms our cardiovascular stress. If you're on a stressful Zoom call for work, you can stroke your arm under the table, or if you're stressed out in the doctor's office, you can just hold your own hand. The second ingredient is recognition of our common humanity, the shared experience of being human. We are all fallible, and bad choices are inevitable on our journey. Compassion actually means to suffer with. The negative side of this would be toxic comparison, feeling like we should be further along in our careers, should have more money saved, should be a size 6, should have less wrinkles, etc. Tony Robbins has a great shorthand for this. He calls it shooting all over ourselves. We don't usually see the bad stuff other people are going through. They're not posting it on Instagram. So it feels like we're the only ones who are sick or struggling to pay our bills, when in fact it's perfectly normal. We feel separate and therefore unworthy. We can create our own, quote, worthiness by remembering we're all experiencing the human condition. Side note here, I think this unworthy feeling is one way that the ego rears its head. Its job is to make us feel separate or distinct. I think the imposter syndrome is also the ego trying to keep us apart from our common humanity. Belongingness is critical to our well-being. Recognizing our inherent interconnectedness starts with belonging to yourself. The third ingredient, mindfulness, is holding our experience in balanced awareness, or connecting with awareness itself instead of the contents of our awareness, like our circumstances. Balanced awareness doesn't ignore our pain or exaggerate it, but we do have to stop and notice our own suffering. When we suffer, oftentimes we either end up blaming others, what Brené Brown calls simply the discharging of pain, or over-identifying with the pain, making things much worse than they actually are. I'm feeling overwhelmed becomes, my life is overwhelming. Mindfulness can stop this downward spiral before it begins. I notice I'm getting worked up about these dirty dishes. Interesting, what's up with that? When you notice you're feeling upset, you're not caught up in your own storyline anymore. Suffering is that gap between what you want or expect and what you have. And suffering is the anguish of fighting against the fact that life is painful. It's been said that suffering equals pain times resistance. If your pain is a 10, but your resistance is 0, and suffering equals pain times 0, you end up with pain, but not suffering. So those are the three basic components of self-compassion: self-kindness, common humanity, and mindfulness. Now, what self-compassion is not? It's not self-pity. In self-pity, you're alone, separate in your suffering. You're wrapped up in your drama, and you don't have the mental space to step back and evaluate your situation clearly. Self-compassion isn't self-indulgence. In the long run, self-indulgence isn't compassionate, and it also robs motivation. Conversely, self-compassion interventions have been shown to help people take responsibility for their actions and failures, but also be less upset by their mistakes. It's not self-esteem. Whereas self-esteem entails evaluating oneself positively and often involves the need to be special or above average, self-compassion doesn't require you to compare yourself with others. It creates stronger emotional resilience and stability than self-esteem, with less self-evaluation, defensiveness, and self-enhancement. Self-esteem, incidentally, doesn't seem to help relationships. Also, unlike self-esteem, self-compassion is non-contingent. If you screw up, it doesn't go away. There are countless reasons self-compassion is needed right now, and the research supporting it is robust and growing. One interesting finding is that people who suffer from shame and self-judgment are actually more likely to blame others for their moral failures. This also allows them to be a, quote, victim. This is shown to be especially true of men who, because of cultural norms, can use anger as a way of deflecting from their perceived inadequacies. When men are taught in workshops to use self-compassion to vulnerably examine their shortcomings, they no longer deny personal responsibility to protect themselves and are instead free to pursue their true desire, loving and supportive relationships. Higher self-compassion has been associated in research studies with greater levels of happiness, optimism, life satisfaction, body appreciation, perceived competence, better romantic relationships, healthier physiological responses to stress, and more motivation to achieve goals. It doesn't let you off the hook. Self-compassion is also correlated with lower levels of depression, anxiety, stress, rumination, body shame, fear of failure, and perfectionism. One shortcut for practicing self-compassion is to, quote, treat yourself as you'd treat a good friend. If you listen to the last episode, self-love researcher Katie Sine made an excellent and subtle point. This can still feel like putting yourself last. However, if this is the only way for you to start to envision loving yourself, it's useful. Other ways could be thinking about how your highest self would treat you, or how you'd care for yourself as a small child, or how God would care for you. Whatever image allows you to care for yourself with love, compassion, and understanding is the right metaphor. You have worth simply by being here on the planet. But if your inner talk is loaded with worthlessness, reminding yourself that you're not only worthy of love, you are love incarnate, you can start to create a new self-talk that's an inner cheerleader, not an inner critic. To me, one of the most useful elements of self-compassion, and self-love for that matter, is giving yourself what you seek from others. For example, if you and your partner or you and your best friend are always waiting to get what you need from each other, you'll be waiting forever. You can validate your own hurt feelings, and you can praise your own accomplishments. And from this place, you can create a deeper quality of presence in that relationship. for lots of free self-compassion resources, including videos, guided meditations, exercises such as changing your critical self-talk, using supportive touch, and starting a self-compassion journal, please visit self-compassion.org. Until next time, may we be kind to ourselves.